Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the press conference following the meeting between the President of Latvia and Secretary General of NATO. Once again, good morning, dear members of the press. It is my honor to receive Secretary General today in Riga. We will also start the or attend the Eastern Flank Summit shortly. We'll be joined by the Finnish Prime Minister and Swedish President. Thus, we will demonstrate our unanimity when it comes to strengthening of the security of our region, and we will also discuss the NATO Washington Summit agenda. We will talk about security, defense, and strengthening of NATO capabilities, also raising defense spending, as well as our preparedness towards various hybrid attacks and the triggering of the NATO Article 5, in which cases it could happen. And undoubtedly, we have discussed and will continue discussing and coordinating our positions with our colleagues from Eastern Flank, Sweden and Finland. Regarding our assistance to Ukraine, we hope that during the Washington Summit, Ukraine will be given a clear signal that its membership in NATO is on the agenda, and we will continue making practical steps to bring Ukraine closer to NATO and also the European Union, although that's a different organization. Nevertheless, it is very much linked or cooperating with NATO, and we will, of course, focus in our discussions on strengthening of the NATO's southern flank. We will also talk about cooperation between the alliance with the Asian and Pacific Ocean countries. It was a good opportunity to also show our appreciation to Jens, to Secretary General, for the last 10 years since he became Secretary General, and we have managed to create a very close cooperation. He became a NATO Secretary General right after the annexation of Crimea, when adaptation of NATO capability development and transformation of NATO was high on the agenda. Secretary General has always very closely listened to our position. He did a lot to give more voice to smaller countries in the family of 32 countries so that we could take all the necessary decisions jointly. So, in appreciation of his contribution to our state, we presented the Secretary General Order of the Three Stars as a thank you for the past 10 years of cooperation and personal contribution of Mr. Stoltenberg in strengthening of the alliance's security. And this is anniversary year, 75th anniversary since founding of NATO, and 20 years since Latvia became a member of NATO. So today's meeting that we had this morning and the B9 summit is both symbolic as well as a very practical platform for coordination of our positions regarding further strengthening of the alliance and regional security and further assistance to Ukraine. Thank you. The floor is given to Secretary General.
It's great to be back in Riga to meet you again. And thank you for hosting me and my delegation for our meeting earlier today, and also for hosting the B9 summit later today. And let me also thank you for bestowing on me the three-star order. This is really an honor for me, and recognition to the important work that NATO has been doing over the last decade. For 20 years, Latvia has been a valued and reliable NATO ally. You host the Canadian-led battle group, strengthening our deterrence and defense. You contribute to our peacekeeping mission in Kosovo and our capacity-building mission in Iraq. And on defense spending, Latvia leads by example, spending over 2% of GDP on defense, and with a pledge to increase that figure to 3% by 2027. Latvia also provides robust military support to Ukraine. You provide extensive military training to Ukrainian soldiers. You lead a coalition that works with industry to supply drones. And you contribute to the Czech-led initiative to provide more artillery shells. When NATO leaders meet in Washington in July, allies will take important steps on three issues. First, allies will agree to step up our support to Ukraine for long haul. I expect that NATO will take the lead in coordinating the provision of equipment and training, and that allies will make a financial commitment to support Ukraine for as long as it takes. Second, we will address our deterrence and defence. Allies are stepping up our efforts on defence spending, and I expect around two-thirds of allies to invest at least 2% of GDP in defence this year. Since 2014, NATO has implemented the largest reinforcement to our collective defence in a generation. We have put in place the most comprehensive defence plans since the Cold War. We have more troops at high readiness, backed by substantial naval and air power. We are also stepping up defence production and ensuring that allies are investing more together. This reduces costs and increases interoperability. So let there be no doubt as to our ability to deter our adversaries and defend our allies. NATO has the forces, resources, capabilities, and the political will to defend every ally. Finally, we will work on further boosting our partnerships around the globe. As we have seen in Ukraine, security is not regional, it is global. So it is essential that we work with our partners on our shared security concerns. So President, Dear Edgars, thank you once again for your hospitality. I look forward to our discussions at the B9 summit.
Now we have time for a couple of questions. Please also introduce yourself.
Thanks, Andrei Sleshkevich, Radio Free Europe, current time television channel. Question to Mr. Stoltenberg. So lately we hear more and more talks about Russia possibly attacking one of the NATO countries, and perhaps even more than right after the beginning of the war 2 years ago. And Norwegian General Erik Christofferson recently warned about this in media. What can you tell, what can you recommend to Baltic residents about this? How should they act in their everyday life? What should they be prepared for? And what NATO is doing to ensure that the region is safe and ready for possible attack? Thank you.
NATO is ready to protect all allies. And over the last years, we have implemented the largest reinforcement of our collective defense in a generation, with the high readiness of our troops, with combat troops in the eastern part of the alliance, battle groups here in Latvia and in other countries in the eastern part of the alliance. So let there be no doubt, NATO is there to defend and protect all allies. And this is the way to prevent an attack. Credible deterrence, strong collective defence, is something which is important for NATO, not because we want to provoke a conflict, but because we want to prevent the conflict, we want to prevent an armed attack on a NATO ally. And NATO's core and main task is to preserve peace by delivering credible deterrence at any stage. Article 5 is a legal obligation for allies to assist in the event of an armed attack. There is no requirement for any unanimous decision. It is also important to remember that we have plans in place and forces available. And let there be no doubt, NATO is prepared and ready to defend all allies. Over the last years, we have implemented the biggest reinforcement of our collective defence, just to ensure that we are able to do exactly that.
Paul Koshkin, Mr. Stoltenberg, with your time in office coming to an end, and the Washington summit also approaching, an important time for us all in Europe, what are some of the things you still wish to accomplish while in office? What are your priorities? Thank you.
So first of all, my focus now is to ensure that we have a successful summit in Washington in July, where we have to make important decisions on deterrence and defence, on support for Ukraine, and also on how to strengthen our partnerships with our Indo-Pacific partners to also address the challenges that China poses to our security. The most urgent task is, of course, to ensure that we provide the support to Ukraine for as long as it takes. And therefore, I expect NATO allies to agree to have NATO in the lead in providing security assistance training for Ukraine, and also to agree a long-term financial commitment to Ukraine, because NATO allies are providing 99% of the military support to Ukraine already, and therefore I think it makes sense to have NATO in the stronger coordinating role. Also to prevent the gaps and delays we saw during the winter, Ukraine needs a predictable, stable flow of military support, also to communicate clearly to Moscow that they cannot wait us out. We will be there for as long as it takes. And by communicating a long-term commitment to Ukraine, we're actually making it easier to end this war soon, because the more obvious it is for President Putin that he cannot wait us out, the earlier he may end up with the conclusion that he has to sit down and accept that Ukraine continues as a sovereign independent nation.
Thank you.